ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis. I'm the host of the ABC's podcast Politics Now, where I'm joined by the sharpest political journalists at the ABC to bring you the big stories you need to know.
You'll hear analysis of the week that was in politics with me, Fran Kelly, joining PK for the party room.
And on Insiders on Background, join me, David Spears, as I zoom in on one big story and a key voice behind it, diving deeper into the policies, laws and people shaping our landscape.
All in the Politics Now feed. Search Politics Now on ABC Listen and hit follow so you never miss an episode.
There's been a shift in Russia's war in Ukraine. Throughout the year, the Ukrainian military has been making ground, regaining some of its territory. So what's changed? Well, it's getting really good at making and using cheap drones. Today, Professor Michael Horowitz, Senior Fellow from the Council on Foreign Relations, on how Ukraine is striking deep inside Russia, including close to the Kremlin, and what it means for Vladimir Putin. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Michael, there was a moment last year which marked a significant shift in the war in Ukraine. So why don't we start there? It was dubbed Operation Spiderweb. Just remind me what happened.
Operation Spiderweb was an ingenious strike by Ukraine deep inside of Russia.
Drone after drone strike planes at air bases across five Russian regions. The 5 minutes of footage released by Ukraine's security service unveils its audacious Operation Spiderweb.
Ukraine smuggled in container trucks across Russia's border, deep inside the country, hundreds of small one-way attack drones. And when they received a signal, they launched and targeted Russian strategic bombers, some of Russia's most important military assets, and did hundreds of millions of dollars of damage to Russian forces.
In southeastern Siberia, an onlooker films a drone taking off towards the tarmac at Belaya Air Base. It had been launched from a compartment hidden in the roof of a modular home that was being transported by truck.
A brilliant operation was conducted on the enemy's territory against military targets only. Russia has had very tangible losses, and justifiably so, as they deserved it.
The attack was shocking because it was the first time that Ukraine demonstrated the ability to take the drone capabilities that it had used to target Russian force at the front lines to hit Russian forces deep inside of Russia, hundreds of miles away from the fighting.
And Ukraine had been using these cheap drones, Michael, before then, but this was really seen as a turning point, wasn't it? And since then, the Ukrainian military, it has hit many Russian targets with drones. Now, what have we been seeing since then?
The thing about Operation Spiderweb that was unique was really the intelligence. It was Ukraine's ability to smuggle these shorter range one-way attack drones across Russia's border. What we're seeing now is something very different.
Ukraine has launched its largest attack on Moscow since the start of the war in 2022, with almost 200 drones targeting sites across the Russian capital and injuring 17 people.
Ukrainian drones have struck an oil refinery in Moscow for the second time in 3 days, sparking a huge explosion and causing major disruption across the capital.
Putin is not stopping this war. He insists on continuing it, so the pressure must grow.
Ukraine, in some ways, has mimicked Russia's use of the Shahed 136, Iran's long-range one-way attack drone, and developed their own long-range one-way attack drone. So Ukraine has now developed the ability to launch strikes that can go up to a couple thousand kilometers into Russia, giving them the ability to target critical Russian infrastructure around the country.
Ukrainian drones have even hit energy and military sites in St. Petersburg, haven't they? It's incredible what they're actually managing to reach.
Absolutely. And it's not just the specific damage that they cause. It's shattering the sense of safety that the Russian people had. Ukraine's people have lived in terror, essentially, since the beginning of the war when Putin launched his brutal invasion, whereas Russians behind the front lines felt relatively safe. What Ukraine has demonstrated over the last 6 months in particular is the ability to strike throughout the first couple thousand kilometers into places like St. Petersburg in ways that I think has really shattered that sense of security and changed the dynamic of the war.
Yeah, and they're hitting ports, oil storage facilities, military factories, air bases. Their targets are very specific.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that people forget is the way that precision guidance, the thing that lets you hit not just a city block, but a specific building or a specific part of a building, is now essentially a 50-year-old technology. You know, this is something that we saw countries like the United States, you know, start to do in the 1970s and 1980s. And you can now miniaturize that technology. Think about the technology we have in our phones every day that tells us exactly where we are. And that can go on one of these one-way attack drones that can then really accurately target military sites, critical infrastructure, the sorts of resources that Russia needs to be able to continue the fight against Ukraine.
It's pretty embarrassing, isn't it, for Vladimir Putin? But also for the Russian people, it's really hurting them because it's hurting the economy.
Absolutely. And this war has now gone on longer than World War II. You know, this is one of the longest wars in Russian history. And after being promised a quick win initially in 2022, Russia is now losing territory to Ukraine. Their economy is being pummeled. And, you know, key military and infrastructure sites in big population centers are being accurately targeted. So that really has to increase the sort of threat perceptions in the Russian people and decrease how good they're feeling about the war. And it really changes the dynamics for Ukraine to be able to bring the pain almost directly to Putin. It shows that, you know, Russia's not invincible and that Ukraine in some ways can deliver that sort of punishment a lot more accurately targeted than the missiles that Russia launches.
And of course, Michael, there has still been very severe drone and missile strikes by Russia on Ukraine. They even damaged a centuries-old cathedral recently. But Ukraine's drone capability, it really has, hasn't it, been credited for Ukraine regaining some territory and really changing the shape of this war.
So it's not just the drones in and of themselves. It's using the drones alongside other kinds of military capabilities. Ukraine essentially has developed the ability in the short range to essentially create a kill zone where anytime Russian forces, you know, tanks, et cetera, are moving, then has the ability to hit that next echelon further back, the kinds of forces that Russia is massing to try to attack in Ukraine. So then disabling the command and control systems that Russian forces within Ukraine need to make advances. And, you know, Ukraine's commander in chief suggested that they've recaptured more than 600 square kilometers over the last several months. You know, these are the first territorial gains that Ukraine has really made since 2023 and illustrates that the, you know, this war is far from over.
All right, well, Michael, why don't we have a deeper look now at the drone technology Ukraine is turning to? Now, of course, we all know that drones really are a key weapon in modern warfare. We've also seen that with Iran. And you've noted they're like the machine gun of World War One.
We live now in an era of precise mass where that pairs essentially that precision guidance that we associated with warfare over the last 20 years with the ability to do mass attacks. And, you know, we saw signs of this, frankly, in the Middle East from the Houthis when they were launching $10,000 flying lawnmowers at U.S. forces in the Red Sea. And we now see Russia and Ukraine launching millions of drones at each other every year to devastating effect, you know, generating about 80% of the casualties right now on the battlefield. What Ukraine has figured out, though, is how to make those attacks strategic and how to use them in combination with Ukraine's forces and using these drones in combination to help them regain territory from Russia. Because the drones themselves are just missiles or just artillery, frankly, that we just call them drones. It's the ability to use them in combination with Ukraine's ground forces and equipment that then can help them regain territory. And Ukraine is really making an operational innovation in that way, helping them make progress in the war.
Yeah, and as you say, as we mentioned, these drones now, they can travel a lot further. And Ukraine is making a lot more of them. Ukraine's getting very good at this, aren't they? Just tell me, what are we seeing in terms of the actual drone?
So the drones themselves can be anything from costing hundreds of dollars to tens of thousands of dollars. And Ukraine is really innovating in the way that they build them. Mm-hmm. Since one of the things that Russia did to counter Ukraine's drones early on in the war, and then especially in 2024, was what's called electronic warfare. Because these drones rely on a data signal, on a connection, essentially, between an operator and the drone to direct it to the target. If you can disrupt that data signal, you can prevent the drone from hitting its target. But Ukraine has now innovated with drones like the TFL-1 that can operate autonomously, even if the data link is disrupted for the last several kilometers before hitting a target, which means even if Russian electronic attacks occur, Ukraine's drones, an increasing number of them, can now still hit their targets and cause damage and hold back those Russian invaders.
Wow. And it's not just used to strike the enemy. Ukraine also uses them for defense. Just tell me about the use of fiber optic cables.
Absolutely. That's another way that Ukraine has tried to evade electronic warfare. Ukraine will, they'll essentially plug in fiber optic cables into the drones. This limits their range, of course. They can only go several miles then at most. But by using sort of thick fiber optic cables that are difficult to cut, they then can undermine Russia's ability to use jamming to take those drones out of the sky, helping them operate effectively. And they can use some of those defensively, keeping them up in the air to conduct surveillance or sometimes even to go to intercept Russia's drones that are coming to hit Ukraine.
And Michael, really, I guess Ukraine has realized over many years of this war that home production is key. You need to be building these drones and you need to be building them fast. I have seen that Ukraine now produces more drones than any other democracy in the world, and it could actually end up supplying Europe.
I mean, Ukraine, I think, produces more drones than every other democracy in the world combined.
Yes.
But there are a couple of really important lessons here. One, Ukraine didn't have this drone industry in 2022. What this shows is that whether you're Australia, whether you're a European country increasing your defense budget, whether you're the United States, these kinds of precise mass capabilities, these low-cost, more attritable capabilities, can be built pretty quickly, actually, by countries. So for democracies looking for ways to rearm themselves and thinking about those, you know, $2 million Tomahawk missiles or $4 million Patriot missile interceptors, precise mass drone capabilities offer a way to generate a lot of capacity faster because they're based more in commercial manufacturing techniques. Mm. This also means, though, that because Ukraine is producing so much, they have an opportunity potentially to become an arms exporter, although Zelensky has been very clear that he will only do that very strategically when Ukraine gets back other capabilities that it needs to be able to fight against Russia.
Right. Well, Michael, after many years, Ukraine has innovated and its advancement in drone capability has really changed the war. But it doesn't mean, does it, that it can win this war? Russia, too, has a very sophisticated drone capability. So it doesn't mean the war will end anytime soon.
I don't think, unfortunately, this war is going to end until Vladimir Putin has had enough. Mm. You know, he views his legacy at this point as tied up in the conquest of Ukraine and seems unwilling to really think about concessions or even a stalemate that could settle into some kind of cold peace along a line of control. As long as Putin has these maximalist aims, and as long as Russia has the capacity to keep fighting with the millions of drones that it's producing and firing at Ukraine and importing from countries like Iran, this will generate a continuing battlefield, and it's hard to see how it gets resolved soon.
Gosh, and of course the human toll on both sides is massive. More civilians were actually killed or injured in Ukraine in May this year than in any other month since the war began. So the toll is just enormous.
It's horrible, and it's unlikely to change. This is one of the most devastating wars anywhere in the world since World War II, in addition to being the first major land war in Europe since World War II. And there's no sign that it's going to let up.
Professor Michael Horowitz is a senior fellow from the Council on Foreign Relations and a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald, audio production by Anna John and Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. To get in touch with the team, please email us on ABC News Daily at abc.net.au. Thanks for listening.